How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King, thanking you once again for making us part of your daily routine, popping us on in the car, in the gym, at work, someplace where you're ignoring somebody. It doesn't matter. We're happy that you do it. And we're happy today to let you know that this program is brought to you by the good folks at SeatGeek. It's an amazing app, and they make things easier than ever for you to buy and sell tickets. I use it. Jay has used it. Download the SeatGeek app. We're going to get you a little bit money back, too, later on in the show. So thanks to them. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a debate that we heard on the True Hoop podcast today of over who are the most talented teams in the East. Where does Boston sit? Are people overreacting to the Washington Wizards now that they've gotten hot and they took the Cavs to the limit yesterday in overtime? Boogie had another meltdown, but let's get into some of these trade rumors as the Celtics get closer to the deadline. It's only a couple weeks away. Today, on the Vertical, Shams Charania, in a piece that it talked about Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart's just a complete lunatic on the floor, dropped, which we already know. We don't have to talk about that much. He's a lunatic. He does crazy things out there. But he did mention that the Celtics are in discussions, or at least had preliminary discussions over about some big men that might be available in the league. So now, because we heard that, now is the time where we guess and try to figure out who the hell that might be.
Should I go in there? Okay.
Let's that's when I stop talking.
So for guidelines, it has to be either a star player, which would, I guess, be like Boogie Cousins. Is there any other potential big guy that would be available? And I don't even think they would go after Boogie, although I don't really know. And Vlade Divac just said Boogie is not available at all. So it has to be then a guy who has a 1-year deal. Like, this is an expiring contract, right?
I would imagine that if it's not a star player type of situation,
yeah,
then they would be looking at, I would say, the Serge Ibaka's of the world. Or
yeah, expiring contract.
Yeah.
And so somebody that you don't have to give up a lot of assets for, and he could be an upgrade, and it would be an expiring contract. Ibaka, kind of intriguing, I guess, because he would help you with the athleticism. He'd help you as a rim protector, rebounder type, and he can still shoot threes and stretch the floor, which is one of the differentiators, I think, for the Celtics front court. So Ibaka's kind of interesting. I still think if they have to give up real assets, they're just not going to do it.
Like, no.
You don't make that move for someone like Serge Ibaka or Andrew Bogut or even like Jusuf Nurkic and any of those guys that could be available if you have to give up real assets, because they're not going to put you far enough ahead and I don't think they catch you up with Cleveland. They certainly don't push you over the top of Golden State or San Antonio out west. So to me, like, it's got to be very cheap trade if you're going to pick up one of those guys.
So, look, you got Serge Ibaka, who makes just over $12 million, and he's only got – this is his last season under contract. You've got Amir Johnson, who makes $12 million, and this is his last season under contract. If Orlando was willing to take – if they wanted to just accumulate some assets, the Celtics have a ton of picks. So – what are you willing to do for Serge Ibaka? What are you willing to give up for Serge Ibaka? And what's Orlando willing to do for Serge Ibaka? You can get rid of him and then take back Amir Johnson. That works straight up. But what's the point? What's the point of that? They're going to want a little bit of a sweetener. So they would say, throw us a pick. Throw us your Celtics first rounder in 2018, or throw us the something. They're going to want something in return. I just don't see what works.
Yeah, and Ibaka ain't a great rebounder either.
Right.
It's not like he's like this huge physical force. So it's like you definitely don't want to give up too much for him. I think he would be an upgrade over Amir Johnson, but he's not like that exciting type of acquisition anymore. He hasn't really, like, he never improved to the point where he's a real difference maker. I don't know. To me, I can't see the type of guy out there really that moves the needle that you'd want to give up assets for. If getting Ibaka would be an upgrade, yes, but it would have to be like you'd give up like maybe a couple second rounders or something. Like,
I would think
one second rounder. I wouldn't give up a lot to get one. Well,
right.
At all.
So this is where we have our issue. And I was listening to the Dunked On podcast, where they have two parts. If you've got a couple of hours, you download both parts, and you can. They had a bunch of guys on there, like Kevin Pelton and a couple other guys.
Smart bros.
Yes, very very intelligent basketball people, and they all took like four teams and kind of went through like a mock trade deadline, and they all just kind of worked at it. So it's interesting to do that because you want to hear what someone who's intelligent and is paying attention, what they're looking to do with that team. Orlando is probably looking to use Ibaka to get something that helps them, not just give the Celtics something for no reason. Like, what's the point of an Ibaka for Amir Johnson trade? Even if the Celtics said, we got too many damn first round picks, here's a first round pick, one of the 2019, the Clippers pick or something. Let's just pretend. So that doesn't help them much, except it gives them a pick down the road. They want to add to their team. They're going to want like a wing. They're going to want somebody that can create a little bit. So they've got other things in mind. I don't see a move for Ibaka that satisfies them. So, sure, it might satisfy us. What the hell? Roll the dice. But, you know, Amir Johnson has... what's the upgrade? You get better three-point shooting with Ibaka, maybe some better rim protection. He's got some lateral movement. He's got more lateral movement than Amir Johnson. So, yeah, okay, great, but I just don't see the move. I just don't see it.
So you started with the Dunked On. What were the Dunked On guys saying?
Well, they went through the whole league. They went superstars first, and if you're looking for, maybe the Celtics are looking for a superstar, Jimmy Butler, I know we're talking about big men, but like Jimmy Butler, for example, we sit here and we discuss, what would we give up for Jimmy Butler? Well, between the Dunked On thing, and I was part of this B-ball breakdown where 30 bloggers each got their own team to run for a week, and we made trades and so on and so forth. Getting the Chicago perspective, they want the world for a guy like Jimmy Butler. So I bring that up because getting a star player in a trade, you got to be willing to just give everything up. All of that cap space, all of those picks, just they want both Brooklyn picks. They want young players. They want the cap space, all of that stuff. They view him pretty highly. The Clippers, they're not giving up anybody. They're in that Dunk Down podcast. They actually worked out a trade for Carmelo Anthony to the Clippers that didn't involve any of the big three core players.
Carmelo's got to be gone. I mean, Phil Jackson is openly trying to piss off Carmelo Anthony so that Carmelo Anthony will agree to trade his no wave clause.
He is unbelievably just horribly screwing up the Knicks. And
I think he's doing it intentionally.
Oh no, I think so too.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to piss off Carmelo until the point that Carmelo's like, "All right, I'm out of here. I'm leaving."
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree that he gave Carmelo Anthony a terrible deal. And that deal has come back to bite him in the ass. And the only way he can get out of it is by really just trying to walk around and like piss him off, flick his ear, you know, put stuff in his shoes, you know, something like anything that will anger him, you know, put like eye drops in his drink so he can get sick. Like all that stuff that's the only option he has is to just completely mess with Carmelo Anthony's life. And you know what? Carmelo Anthony, I am a fan of his just for the way he's coming back at Phil. He's like, "Nah, I'm just not going anywhere, man. I'm just not going anywhere. You can try all you want. You can put all your sneaky, underhanded bullshit out in the media. I am not going anywhere. I like New York. My wife likes New York."
We'll see. He's still got a couple weeks.
He does have a couple weeks. If they can work something out with the Clippers, and look, these smart guys on Dunked On figured it out. A deal that the Clippers liked and that they liked for the Knicks that just basically blew it up, got them some picks, got them some cap space, some flexibility, and you're building around Porzingis, it makes total sense. But for the Celtics purposes, and I forget who it was, the guy was handling the Celtics, he was really representing us well because we don't want to give up both picks. We're all kind of married to that idea of making a selection now this year. That could be a number one pick. You know, whoever it is, that's a potential franchise-changing guy. I think Celtics fans are looking forward to that, looking forward to the potential of seeing him, whoever that is, in Boston, and looking forward to possibly using the SeatGeek app to go see that guy next year. Of course, you could use it now.
That was smooth.
Thank you. You can use it now. If you're out in Sacramento, you want to go check that game out. They don't have Boogie. Maybe a lot of people who have season tickets are looking to sell. This opportunity for you to get in there. Just download the SeatGeek app. I know it's a confusing process. It's been confusing for a long time. It's hard to find the best deals. And really, the older ticket sites, they just don't do the right job for you. But SeatGeek is different. They've created this amazing app and a website that makes it really easier than ever for you to buy and sell tickets. I've used it. I've gone to a couple of games at home. I've gone to games on the road. I plug it in. They do all of the work for you. They compare the prices and give you red, yellow, green dots. And you can kind of zoom in on your app. You little pinch the screen. You move in. It tells you what the good deal is, what the bad deal is. It gives you a score. And it basically gives you the most bang for your buck. So if you're looking for tickets for a Celtics game, maybe not a Celtics game. Maybe you're a hockey fan. You want to go check out the Bruins. Maybe you don't after what they did to Claude Julien, but that's a different story. That's a different podcast.
Or a concert.
A concert. There's a show. Something like that. Check it out. Download the SeatGeek app. And here's the good part. All of our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do, download the app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the code LOCELTICS. LOCELTICS. You will get $20 back from SeatGeek after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LO Celtics today. And you never know. If you buy a ticket for a game 2-3 weeks from now, maybe this team will look different. But I don't think, Jay, that we're going to get anywhere with a lot of these talks. I really doubt that. And I don't think we're going to get Boogie at all. Despite him losing his shit and getting suspended for the Celtics game, the Kings, Vlade Divac, and majority owner Vivek Ranadive are all Cousins guys. And you listen to all of the reports, you read up on this situation. It's not a great situation in Sacramento. There are a ton of owners, but like all of the minority owners still have less of a stake than Ranadive, and Ranadive wants to go into that new building with Cousins. He's a Cousins guy. Divac is a Cousins guy. That's it. He's off the table. So that is done.
Yeah. I mean, look, and I Cousins is like, he was already at 14 technicals, 16, and you get an automatic suspension. And he goes ahead in the third quarter. He shoves an opposing assistant coach. Then, of course, Matt Barnes gets involved because
that's what Matt Barnes does.
Yeah. So, obviously, going and getting Matt Barnes and putting him next to DeMarcus Cousins, not sure that was the wisest idea. Just another in a long line of bad decisions by the Sacramento Kings. then in the fourth quarter, with literally 1.1 seconds left, he loses his shit over.
He got fouled, no doubt. Yeah, he got fouled.
He probably got held, but like, just.
He's got
just
no.
Relax, man.
He's got no awareness, and I don't know if he maybe just doesn't care anymore. But in that situation, like you got to understand where you are, but. You're at 15 technical fouls. The game is over. Let the game end. Just let the game end before you. Then you can go get fined. And who knows? Maybe he would have gotten suspended anyway if he lost his mind the way he did. But at least save the tech. Now, for every other technical foul, he's going to get another suspension. So
he might get like 5 more suspensions the rest of the season.
It's really mind-blowing how a guy gets 16 technical fouls before the All-Star break, knowing that this is the system. Now, before this was the system, Rasheed Wallace probably had 20 by this point. But
didn't he have 41 one year?
Yeah, but I mean, he's the reason why they instituted this policy, because he.
That's incredible, man. 41 technicals.
This really is the Rasheed rule, because they had to, like, you can't just be that much of a dick and just keep hitting the refs up like without some sort of consequence. So here they are. The Kings are now, they've played 52 games. So you got 30 games left. He's got 16 fouls. How many 16 techs? How many more techs can he get in those games?
Double digits? I think it could go double digits.
I think so.
He's going to be suspended for too many of them. He'll probably get 6 more. So three suspensions. 3 more one-game suspensions.
Okay. yeah, that's right, because he would need to – right, he wouldn't play all 30 games.
Yeah, because he'll be getting suspended too much. Oh, Boogie. If only Boogie were – a rational human being, Boogie would be an awesome, awesome person to build a basketball team around.
I just sit there and I compare myself to like the old typewriters, which I'm unfortunately old enough to remember, where you would type and the carriage would slide and then you'd have to hit the actual return and like it would scroll the paper up a line and you would go back to the beginning all the way to the left. And that's me with the DeMarcus Cousins situation, where at the beginning I'm like, screw this, I do not want to deal for Boogie Cousins. And then you slowly along, and he plays really, really well because he's a really an amazing basketball player. And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe Brad Stevens can calm him down. Maybe this Celtics locker room can calm him down. And then he pulls some shit that he pulled last night, and I hit the return back to the beginning. I don't want to trade for Boogie Cousins. Screw this. And it's, you know, I'll slowly calm back down, and he's going to lose his shit again. And I just got to remember that he's just emotionally unstable. And I like to the point where I think he really needs some help, like professional help. They need to get him in to speak to somebody, something, somewhere, because this level of emotional distress, this is not normal. This is not normal.
Shoving an assistant coach on the other team is preposterous.
That is ridiculous.
Especially, it's not like Boylan came out like yelling at him. Boylan was just trying to like keep the peace, and he shoved him from behind. It was, take it easy, Boogie. Just a couple deep breaths. Cousins, man. Honestly, if he just had a level head,
oh God, he'd be
one of the top five basketball players alive.
Easily.
Instead, he takes like six or seven possessions per game off. He loses his shit very frequently. And he and Matt Barnes have become one of the most reckless duos in the NBA.
Unbelievable.
Maybe the most reckless duo in the NBA.
So Boogie is out. Forget it. The Boogie to Boston train.
John will be back in a week, though.
I'll be in that exercise. I actually did make the trade for DeMarcus Cousins, which is, you know, that whole thing, as opposed to the Dunked On podcast where they had their they really tried to play it realistic. The thing that I was involved in, it was all free reign. So the Kings guy was from Cowbell Kingdom and just basically said, I do not agree with your keep Boogie stance, so I'm going to trade him. And we worked out a deal. So, and the deal involved Matt Barnes. So Matt Barnes and Boogie to Boston. So watch out at the Harp. Those two are going to go in there and tear that place apart in my fake fantasy world.
Brad Stevens would love having those two.
Oh, my God. I bet you Stevens would resign at that point. Like, screw this. I'm out. I don't need this crap. I'm going back to college. Call me when their contracts are up. All right. One of the other things that happened today, since we're talking about other people's podcasts, which, you know, we feel like we're the best, but you should listen to other people's podcasts, especially in the Lockdown Podcast Network. We have a lot of great ones, but there's a lot of great work out there too from a lot of different people. Almost too much great work, really, because it's hard to keep up with everything. But in today's True Hoop podcast, part of the discussion, and it came after the Wizards took the Cavaliers to overtime. They've been on one hell of a tear. They have now risen to 30-21, fourth in the East, a game behind the Raptors, three games behind the Celtics, and 5.5 out of first. So the debate there was, who are the three most talented teams in the East? And there was not a lot of love for the Boston Celtics. And I think there's a lot of recency bias going on because I heard Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Recency bias? The Celtics have a 7-game win streak.
No, I know. And that's the thing. Like, but the Wizards have been on such a tear because they just lost last night. But how many games had they won in a row before that? They won, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They were on a 7-game streak of their own, and then they had won 4 of the previous ones there, so they'd won 11 of 12. And you can keep going back. They'd won 14 of 16. So they really were on a tear. Okay. They were the hottest team in the East. Just like right behind. The Celtics were like right behind them. But the Wizards, fine, talented team. They were never supposed to be as bad as they were earlier this season. But I heard,
or as they were last season.
Right. So I heard Shaq, I heard Charles Barkley, and I hear all these guys in this podcast talking about how they think the Wizards are the second best team in the East. And I'm like, pump your brakes. Yeah, they've done a hell of a job to come all the way back, but all they've been able to do is get back to the fourth seed, a half game out of fifth. They lose a couple of games, and next thing you know, they're down there hanging around with the Bulls. So people need to chill out a little bit. And look at the teams that they've beaten. Yes, they've beaten us. We're one of them. But New Orleans, the Lakers, the Knicks, New Orleans again. You get the Hawks, which are good. Us, which is good. The Hornets are good. But then the Pistons. No, they lost to the Pistons. Knicks, Grizzlies are good. Portland's eh. Sixers. So these are all like not great teams. So I think good for the Wizards for coming back. They are clearly living up to their potential. Guys who have not had great careers even or have had some bad luck are finally starting to step up. Otto Porter has emerged a bit. Bradley Beal is getting healthy and playing like the guy that we expected him to be, like one of the like a stud backcourt. Wall is Wall. I mean, they are really good, but second best team in the East. Let's just chill out a little bit. Don't you realize Toronto still has their hurt? They don't have DeRozan right now. Celtics are hurt. They don't have Avery Bradley, and the Celtics are still on a 7-game win streak. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, so my thing on this is, I think Toronto's still number two.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
When they were healthy, they had Kyle Lowry and DeRozan going, and such a deep bench. Those guys, like, they were an offensive juggernaut. Then Patrick Patterson got hurt for a little while. DeMar DeRozan's been out for a while. Like, when they're healthy, that team is damn good. And Lowry is amazing. DeRozan has been out of this world. And they have a really deep supporting cast. So, to me, Toronto's still number two. They're still the proven team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I have Boston number three. And I have all sorts of respect for what the Wizards have done. I think their backcourt, when healthy, is spectacular. I think Marcin Gortat is having a hell of a year. So you look at everything they've accomplished. Yeah, they've been great. Okay, now you look at it this way. The Celtics, I'm on mangameslost.com right now. They have lost their injury impact to team value over replacement player, which is basically the impact of the injuries they've had, is second highest in the league to the Los Angeles Clippers. Okay, so they've been hurt by injuries as much as anybody except the Clippers. They have a tougher schedule so far, according to basketballreference.com, than the Wizards. And they're still, what, 2.5 games up on the Wizards?
And three full games up on the Wizards, 2.5 games out of first.
2.5 out of first. And 2.5 up on Toronto, right? So to me, what the Celtics have done is they've weathered the injury storm. Now they have an easy schedule coming up. I think 20 of their last 31 games are against sub-500 teams. They have crushed sub-500 teams this year. So when you look at it that way, I think the Celtics, like, if you put the full resumes together and look at every piece of it, then they've been the better team. They've been a better team while hurt for a lot of the year. You know, they've had a 7-game winning streak while Avery Bradley, one of their starters, is out. So to me, yes, the Wizards have been great. I worry about their depth a lot. I think their one injury, whether it's to Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, even Gortat at this point, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, they're not in a good place anymore. So I think the Celtics are better built to deal with injuries. I think they're deeper. And at this point, you have to put Isaiah Thomas up against any non-LeBron James player in the Eastern Conference. He's been that good. And I think their net rating, the Celtics, it's third right now in the East. So I don't know how you can have them like fourth. It doesn't make sense to me that they're fourth. But, I mean, the Wizards have been great. And I do think that the Wizards have proven that they're kind of in that tier with Toronto and Boston. Like, I guess it's not crazy to put them ahead of Boston. It's not crazy to put them ahead of Toronto. I think they have proven, or at least they've given evidence that supports the fact, or not, maybe not a fact, the theory that they should be in that tier with those guys right now.
Here's the thing that makes me kind of give pause to that. And I'm trying not to be a Celtics homer. I do believe, like you said, I do believe that right now Toronto at full strength is the second best team in the East. With DeRozan's healthy, Kyle Lowry is still, I really do think Kyle Lowry is vastly underrated. Like he could easily be called the best point guard in the Eastern Conference.
He's incredible. I love watching him play both ends.
He is just very underappreciated. So I think Toronto definitely has the inside track for the second best team in the East. The Celtics, like you said, have had a lot of injuries, and they've weathered that storm, and now they're 2.5 games out of first. They're the second seed in the East right now. The Wizards have had two distinct seasons. They had the first part of the season, which was very bad. Very bad. And they had some bad losses. So now they're, you know, they get some health, they got some continuity, and they've put a good stretch together against some bad teams. So they still have the Nets coming up next, but you know, they got a stretch, the Pacers, the Thunder, the Jazz, the Warriors, the Raptors twice. By the time we get to through the month of February, the beginning of March, we'll see if they can get through that phase and beat the Raptors and beat, say, the Jazz and the Thunder and start getting up some quality wins like that. Then, yeah, then they're in that mix. But I still think the Celtics are at least a little bit ahead of them, even though they lost that funeral game. I still think the Celtics.
That game still cracks me up, man. That was so entertaining for a random Wednesday night or whatever it was in January. The funeral game. It was so preposterous. And
right? The Wizards took that very seriously. And Wizards fans took that very seriously.
No, the Wizards, first of all, the Wizards, they just thought it was a joke. They thought it was funny. Like, I thought they took it seriously when I was first reading about it, but that was complete joke. And then, like, they enjoyed the humor of it. And their fans did not take that seriously because nobody showed up to that game.
Well, the fans that I see online were taking it seriously. The bloggers were, anyway. So I still think the Wizards have something to prove, just because they have some tough teams coming up in the schedule, and I think they need to prove that they can beat some of those teams, or they might fall behind. And again, this is true of every team. The Celtics can go on a swoon. The Raptors have gone on a swoon. The Wizards, they lose a couple of games. They're 3 games out of second place for the Celtics. But then if they lose 3 games and fall 8.5 behind, they're behind the Pacers and just ahead of the Bulls. So they're still in a precarious position. They haven't come all the way back. So yeah, they've got a lot of talent, but I still think they have a little bit more to prove before I'm willing to put them up in that next mix. So that's my take.
Hey, the Celtics have stuff to prove too. They still absolutely got out of the first round.
Absolutely. And you know, like Brian Windhorst on that podcast was really not loving the Al Horford contract. Like he just kept asking everybody, "What do you think of the contract? What do you think
and
of the contract?"
Everyone was like, "It's a good contract, Brian."
Yeah, but he says that he didn't think that Al Horford really made much difference for the Celtics, which I think is one of the most absurd statements you could make, because the Celtics are 33-18. They've won 65% of their games. They were not anywhere near that in the past couple of years. They were never anywhere close to this. And
I will say this too. Last year, Jared Sullinger was a good player in the regular season. Like, he rebounded, he defended, he was great outlet passer. He did a lot of things for the Celtics. He didn't turn the ball over much. In the playoffs, they couldn't play him. And
right.
That was because they matched up with the Hawks, and Al Horford and Paul Millsap were too tough for him to handle. He couldn't chase them at the 3-point arc. So to me, Horford's going to make the biggest difference in the playoffs. when you don't have to bench one of your better players because he can't match up with another team. That's when he's going to make the biggest impact. So to me, talk of that is just erroneous. Erroneous, Brian Windhorst.
I agree. Let's leave it at that. Couple of notes coming out of Celtics practice. They practiced at 10 p.m. Eastern out in Sacramento ahead of tomorrow night's game. Avery Bradley did not travel with the team. He is unlikely to join the Celtics on their four-game road trip. Are you getting worried about that Achilles at all, or are they just being really really cautious?
I talked to him the other day. He said he's feeling fine. I don't know what that means. Nobody seems to be totally worried about it, but, I mean, it's lingered on enough that you've got to think, okay, is there something else there? Is something else going on? Are they missing something when they tested him and said there was no structural damage? I don't know. He's been out a long time, and I get it. Yes, you have to be cautious with a torn Achilles, but it's been long enough now, and especially, like they've said a few times, he might come back now. He will likely travel on the trip. Well, he didn't travel on the trip. So they've pushed it back enough that you're like, I hope everything's right. All right. And I don't know if anything is serious. It might just be that he and the team are being cautious with it because it's a freaking Achilles, and you do not screw around with Achilles injuries. But at the same time, it's gone on long enough that there has to be a little bit of worry there.
Yep. Jonas Jerebko has a broken nose. He's going to wear a mask.
I can't wait
when you see him next.
Jonas in the mask. It is going to be glorious.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And Isaiah Thomas said, Tom Brady texted him after the Super Bowl and said, quote, it's your turn next.
By the way, John, I made you wait for this podcast because I was watching the mic'd up Patriots special on Showtime. That is.
Oh, really?
Wait, but it was phenomenal. Oh, my God.
See, I don't have Showtime.
It was so perfect.
Just is all Super Bowl all mic'd up.
I also went to the parade today and froze my ass off. that
must have been fun though.
It was a really good time. There were tons of people there, but after 3 hours in the snow, it was time to go home.
I watched on TV. It seemed like a lot of fun. Gronk was amazing. Gronk was so amazing.
Oh yeah.
So much fun.
He's a child. He is a little child. He is a child. Like, he just seems like the most innocent, carefree guy who ever lived.
Yeah, but you know, like he doesn't spend his money. He's not broke. Like he seems like a guy who'd be broke party guy. But all of the money he spends, he says it's all his endorsements. He's never touched his NFL salary.
What's amazing to me, he's never gotten in trouble. Like.
No,
he parties and he boozes and he has so much fun, but he's never gotten in trouble.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I mean, that's good.
To Gronk for that.
And nothing. Look, he clearly takes care of himself, minus the drinking, but he does get hurt. But I mean, those are traumatic injuries. He does the best he can there. He's clearly one of the best tight ends of all time. And yeah, like that, good for him. Good for him. Awesome. Good for you for downloading the SeatGeek app. If you do that, you can get $20 back by entering the promo code LOCELTICS. You could even use it to get into Patriots games next year if you wanted to. That's possible. But you could do that for anything, a show, a game, a concert, buy them, sell them. You could do that too. Enter the promo code LOCELTICS, $20 back. It's a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Subscribe to the show if you are so inclined, and you should be so inclined because this show is a lot of fun. And rate us 5 stars while you're in the process. If you subscribe, you might as well hit the 5 stars. Do that. Listen to the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA. You know, Locked On Kings is out there. All of the Locked On other teams, listen to them. Get a little sense of what the other teams' fans and hosts are saying. Do that and listen to us tomorrow, I guess, after the game.
Yep.
It won't be me.
It's
going to be a late one. But Jay and we'll let Jay and Sam handle that one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my bedtime's 9 p.m.
John likes to pass out during the third quarter of the game.
Fourth quarter. Let's get it right. If you're going to bust my balls, at least get it right.
Fine. You passed out once the comeback had already started. Even better.
That's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.